Theo. Hello, welcome to Quarterback Share Week 2. Got Stuart here, got Janet here, Ruth is here. Did I mute everybody? Looks like everyone's muted.
Oh, I'm unmuting myself. Hi, Danny.
Okay, you can unmute yourselves if you want to, or you can just listen.
I'll just listen, but I just wanted to say hi. Who else is on the call? Is anybody else?
Looks like Janet and Stuart are here. Everyone's muted. Okay. Muted and video off, so all I have the names. It's not like school where I can make sure that you're paying attention.
I was just talking to Judy Katz right before we, so I said, I have to go to my class with Danny now. I'll call you back.
Okay, so let's get on share screen and let's go up here. Okay, let's start. See who else wants to join us. We're in Parshat Vayikra, and I do want to say that pretty much this is what I said 2 years ago. So if you remember that, then this will all be a repeat. If you're paying attention, then fine. If not, maybe it'll be interesting. And the parsha starts with Vayikrash El Moshe. That's verse one. Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemor. The Arsker translates that as he called to Moses, and Hashem spoke to him tent of meeting, saying, and then it goes on and gives all the laws of the Karbanot. And what's weird about that, if you look at it, it clearly has the subject in the wrong place. It's he called Moshe. Who's the he? It's Hashem, right? Vayikra el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem. It should be Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, vayidaber elav lemor. What's this Hashem doing at the end? Or after the second verb in the sentence? I will add that this is very weird. There's no feedback whatsoever. So I assume you're all listening. So if you want to unmute and just make occasional comments, that'd be great. But this is the way the Malbim looks at it, that the idea is that this Vayikra and Vayidaber is really a Sehendaitis. These are two words that go together, and this is source three. Mechukei Militzatz Lashon HaKodesh. One of the rules of rhetoric in Lashon HaKodesh in Biblical Hebrew. Shevo Shnei Po'alim El Po'al Echai. We have two verbs with one subject. Yevo Tamid Shem HaPo'al Ben Shnei HaPo'alim. Then the name of the subject comes between the two verbs. Example, Vayira Hashem El Avram Vayomer. Vayira Hashem and Vayomer. Verb, subject, verb. It's the subject comes after the verb, it's after the first verb. And similarly, Vaygash Abraham Vayomer, Vaygdal Hayel Vagamal, all those examples he brings, Vatar Leah Vatele Ben, verb, subject, verb. And he goes through all these different examples throughout Tanakh. That's the way it should work. So this is different. It should say, Vaykra Hashem El Moshe Vaydaber Elav. It doesn't say that. Makamot Shebat Shem HaPoel Achar HaPoel HaSheni, and places where the subject comes after the second verb, Huzarut, it's strange, Vesirus Blashon, and it's the language is mixed up. And we need to read it slightly more, so we need to invert the words in order to make it make sense. Maposh Etzerich L'Sareis HaKatuv, so just like here, where we need to invert, we need to rearrange the words, Faresh Shashem Shakatuv Achar Vayidaber, that the name Hashem that's written after Vayidaber, Musav al Vayikra applies to Vayikra also. It really means Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. B'chol makom shish shebas sirus kazeh, any place where this is mixed up like that. Vala shavot shnei apolim zel zeh. What it means, it comes to do is put the two verbs together. Really, it should be read as a single expression. Vayikra Vayidaber Hashem. That's what hendaitis means. It means two words that are coming together as one. Lameche hayu domim be'et ha'davar. They're similar in some way. L'zehem t'chufim zeh l'zeh. That's why they're successive one after the other. Revach lo yavo b'neihem, and there's no space between them. So the way to translate is not Hashem called to Moshe and Hashem spoke to him, but Hashem called by speaking to Moshe. Right? Krav Maeda Ber is what he was doing. And that's important to realize because this is all taking place right after they built the Mishkan. That was last week's Parsha. They erect the Mishkan, Moshe puts it finally together, and then Hashem doesn't talk to Moshe. Remember the end of last week's Parsha, that's source 4. Vechasa nanet omoed. The cloud covered the omoed, the Mishkan, put Hashem Moed to Mishkan, and the glory of God, the physical manifestation of Hashem's presence, filled the Mishkan. V'yachol Moshe labo al omoed. And Moshe could not go to the omoed, kishachan alav anan, because the cloud was there. Before Hashem Moed to Mishkan, and where the glory of God, the Kavod, filled the Mishkan, Moshe couldn't go in. So this calling by Yikra Moshe is Hashem saying, okay, you can come in now. Well, we'll talk to you now. That was the change. And that's where Rashba puts it, source 5, by Yikra Moshe. Because it just said the end of Sefer Shemot. Moshe could not go there. Therefore, he is called now to go into the Omoed. Which is fine. What makes it interesting is that this is a change. Before the Mishkan was built, Moshe could go in and speak to Hashem anytime he wanted to. When we look back in Parsha Kitisa, after Mamad Har Sinai, after the whole Cheder Egel, Moshe comes down and he sets up a temporary Ohel Moed. That's source 6. Moshe yikach et ohel, v'natalo michutz l'machaneh. Moshe would take his tent. He puts the luchot that he got in his little wooden case before they built all the fancy gold stuff. V'natalo michutz l'machaneh, and he set it up outside the camp. Harchek min ha'machaneh, far away from the camp. V'kara lo ohel moed. And he called that the ohel moed. This wasn't the Mishkan, this was literally a tent of meeting. V'yakom avakesh Hashem. So anyone who was seeking God, Yitzel Omoed would go out to this Omoed. Hashem Yikuz Machanel was outside the camp. And when Moshe would go out, he was living in the camp. He gets up and he goes to his office. That's far out outside the camp. Yakumo Kol Am, everyone would get up. Mitzvu Ish Petach Olo, and everyone would stand outside the entrances to their own tents, and they would watch him go by. Vibito Achre Moshe, and they would watch, and they looked at Moshe Agbo Ola until he went to the, until he arrived at the Ohel Moed. Again, this is before they built the Mishkan. This is after Mamre Har Sinai for those 6 months or more from the time he comes down till Rosh Chodesh Nisan when they actually built it. V'yakavo Moshe Ola, and as soon as Moshe came to this tent, Yireid Amun Anan, the cloud would come down, but Mat Petach Ola would stand at the entrance to this tent. V'diber Moshe, and he would talk to Moshe. So when they actually build the Mishkan, the final portable mikdash in the wilderness, it's Vayachas Hanan at Omoed, back in source 4. It's covered, and Moshe can't go there. Beforehand, the Anan's there, the Kavod Hashem is there, but he's talking to Moshe. Ra'akol Amet Amud Hanan Omeket Hanan. Oh, well, the people all saw this pillar of cloud standing in front of the tent. But come call Amet Shachu each Petach Olo, and everyone would bow down there in front of their own tents. Diber Hashem Moshe panim and panim. And Hashem would talk to Moshe face to face. Kasher yidaber ish al rehu. Like one person would talk to their friend. Rishava Machaneh, and then after Moshe, whatever he's doing, talking to Hashem, Moshe would return to the camp. Umesharato Yeshua ben Nun, and his servant Yeshua, Nar, was serving him. Lo yamish mitach ohel, he would not leave the tent. He would stay in this ohel moed that was outside the camp. So I want to imagine that scene. Right beforehand, every day Moshe goes to the office, learns with Hashem, goes back to the camp, back and forth every day. They finally build this new Mishkan, this new Ohel Moed. They've replaced the old simple tent. Now they have this glorious, multicolored gold and silver tent. And Moshe goes in there. He goes to go in, and his keys don't work. He can't get in. And Hashem tells him, "That's okay. I'll buzz you in." But still, the idea of that. He never needs to be buzzed in. He could just walk in there. Now he needs to be invited. It's by Yikra al Moshe. He needs that invitation to go in. And this is a new relationship that Moshe has with Hashem, with the Torah. He needs to be called, and this is the way it's going to be from now on. And that's Rashi in source 7, by Yikra al Moshe. Hashem calls to Moshe. V'chol dibrot v'chol amirot v'chol tzivuyim. Every time it says by Daber Hashem Moshe, every amira, every Fight Sab, Kidma Korea had to have an invitation beforehand. Moshe now is in a state where he needs to be invited to speak to Hashem. So what's changed? Why is this different? First, I want to look at another peculiarity of this pasuk over here. It says Vayikra El Moshe. And there's a difference between Vayikra El Moshe and Vayikra Le, with just a lamed. And this is the Malbim that makes this distinction. Source 8. Hitiv Dibru Bazer Chonim. That the later rabbis said this well. Shekriya Lipiloni. That if it says Vayikra Le, Moresha haya hakare hakaru rachok mimenu. It means that you're calling to someone who is far away, and you're inviting them or summoning them to come to you. Vayikrala means a summons or an invitation, depending how mandatory it is. Someone's far away, I want them to come here. But if it says kara el, to call el, piloni, moret shal shakare shakaru omed lifne kare. It's not talking about someone far away, I want you to come here, or someone you're standing right in front of me, or karavelav, or nearby. And the calling is a addressing. I'm specifically speaking to you as opposed to anyone else as a sign of honor, of affection. That I'm inviting you to join this conversation. That's kara el. And this is clear everywhere you look at it. And Mom goes through all sorts, goes through all the places in Tanakh. Give a couple examples of that. For instance, Pesach is coming, and when Makkah Bechorah, when Paro goes to try to send Bnei Israel out, source 9, then Paro Laila, and Paro gets up in the middle of the night, Hubakol Vadav, Hubakol Mitzrayim, all servants, all of Egypt, Hatitza Khabu Gedol Mitzrayim, great cry, invite Asher in Shemit. There's no house that has no dead. Vayikra l'Moshe l'Aram. Vayikra la. He is summoning Moshe and Aram. In the middle of the night. Vayomer kumu tzu'umi tochami. And he says, get up, leave my nation. Right, that's vayikra la, meaning a summons. You're over there. Come to me because I'm going to give you orders now. Similarly, when Moshe is faced with rebellion of Datan Aviram, source 10, Vayisach Moshe l'kro l'datan l'Aviram. He calls them. He summons them. They need to come here. And that's that distinction between Kra El and Kra La is clear when we look at Shmuel. Shmuel, when he first becomes a Navi, he's a little kid living in the Mishkan Shiloh, and he hears a voice calling Shmuel. Like Davida's here. Hi, Davida. And it says, "Vayikra Hashem El Shmuel." Hashem calls to Shmuel. Not in the sense of summoning, he's already there in the Mishkan, but calling, I'm speaking to you now. And then Shmuel says, I'm here. He says, okay, but he doesn't know what's going on. He misinterprets this all, and he goes, Vayaratz El Eli. So he goes to Eli, who's his mentor, is the Kohen Gadol. Vayomer Hineni, he says, I'm here, Ki Karat Ali. He interprets it, you summoned me, you wanted me to come to you. Vayomer Lo Karati, and Eli says, no. Go back to bed, and then he's called again until he finally realizes, and Eli finally realizes this is Vayikra El. Hashem is addressing Shmuel directly. And we see that directly with when Moshe is going up and down the mountain in those days before Mamad Har Sinai. This is in Parshat Yitro. When Israel come to Har Sinai, source 12, Moshe Allah Elohim. And Moshe goes up the mountain to where the Shekhinah is. Hashem calls to him while he's up on top of the mountain. So that's not summoning to come here. That's I'm talking to you now. And that's the way our scroll puts it over here. Hashem called to him specifically. Saying, you need to go tell Beis Yaakov, go establish these girls' schools. But to give Bnei Israel and tell Bnei Israel, and he tells them all their mission. So by Yered Moshe Minahar. El Ha'am. So Moshe goes down the mountain, and he sanctifies the people. Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai, and then the Shekhinah comes down on Har Sinai, Rosh Har. Vayikra Hashem l'Moshe, and this is a le. Vayikra Hashem l'Moshe. Hashem is summons Moshe. Remember, he's on, at this point, Moshe's at the bottom of the mountain. Hashem is on the top. Hashem calls, summons Moshe. He says here, as Rashi says, Hashem summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. By Hashem, Lim Moshe. El Rosh had to come up there. By Moshe, then Moshe goes up. So there's this difference between Vayikra El and Vayikra La. Vayikra La is a summons, invitation. You need to come here. Vayikra El means I'm talking to you to give you a message, specifically to give you a mission. And that is literally what is a calling. As we, even the way we use it in English as well, to have an impulse to a course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. Vayikra Hashem El means to have a calling. This is my mission, this is my role, this is what I'm going to do. And that's what Moshe gets. And in fact, Moshe gets this four times. There are four times in the Torah where we use that phrase, Vayikra El Moshe. First time, at the burning bush. Vayikra Hashem Kisar Lirot, Hashem sees that Moshe's come close to the burning bush. Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch Hasneh. And Hashem calls to him, gives him a calling from the burning bush. And he calls me and says, I'm here. I accept the mission. Second time is the quote we just had. When he goes up Mount Sinai the first time to get Bnei Israel ready to accept the Torah, Moshe Allah Elohim, Vayikra Elav Menahar. That's what we just quoted. He's now getting the calling to get Bnei Israel ready. The first one was to bring Bnei Israel out of Egypt. That was one mission. He's the savior. Now he is the leader to get them ready to accept the Torah. The third time is after Mount Har Sinai, when Moshe himself is going to go up. He's going to be there for 40 days. He's going to be at the level of the angels, 40 days without food or water. He's going to be the medium for the Torah to come down to earth. And similarly, as source 16, Bayal Moshe Lahar, Bechas Hainan at the Har, he goes up the mountain, and the same cloud, the sense of Shekhinah, is there. Veshkon Kavod Hashem al Har Sinai, Bechseho Hanan, Shesh Yamim, and 6 days he's waiting while Shekhinah is there, by Kra El Moshe. And then he gets this calling, Bayal Moshevi, Mitoch Hanan, then he gets by Kra El. And then the fourth time is here, by Kra El Moshe. This is his last Kriya El. This is Moshe's last calling. What does that mean? What is this calling that he's getting over here? This is different. Before he was the Moshe bringing the people out of Egypt, before he's the Moshe bringing the people to Har Sinai, before he's the Moshe who's bringing the Torah down, what's happening here in the Ol Moed? This is a quote from Abraham Twersky, who's the psychiatrist and rabbi. He writes all these inspiring articles. And the way he looks at this parsha, as this calling here, it's a sense of change. Things are different now, as we said. And this way he puts it, growth is change, and though it's positive and desirable change, is a change nonetheless. A natural tendency to maintain the status quo rather than to change. We're likely to fail to interpret the signal of discomfort correctly. Change is uncomfortable. We never like change. And we're going to misinterpret it. And rather than see it as an opportunity for growth, we try to eliminate the discomfort. Ms. Greenblatt, the girl's principal, always talks about her goal is to make everyone be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's the opportunity for growth. Each time God called to Moses, it was a new challenge for Moses to elevate himself to even higher level of spirituality. In urging him to grow, God made greater demands of him. He knew it was a sign of divine love, whereby he would be stimulated from all that he could be. Every person has a potential he's not realized. Achieving maximum growth is not likely to come easily. If you're wise, understand that growing pains are a sign of divine love, which is very inspiring. The question, how does that connect to our parsha? Here it sounds like a demotion. From beforehand, Moshe is talking to Hashem, Deber Ish El Rehu. Now it's requires by Yikra. He can't go to the Ol Moed until he's invited in. It has to be for a specific purpose, for a specific dibur, amira, mitzvah. So what is this new faith? What is this growth that he's going, this new kriya? So let's look at the rest of the parsha. Continue on through the rest of Vayikra, the beginning of Parsha Tzav. It's a series of, like, Devar Hashem Moshe. Moshe gets all these commandments. And it's all about sacrifices, and then it ends with a summary. This is a summary. This is actually part of Tzav, source 20. This is the procedure. La 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 mincha la chatat la sham la miluim the zevach hashlamim for all these different sacrifices. Asher tziva Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai. That okay? Asher tziva. That's the past perfect. That Hashem had commanded Moshe on Har Sinai. Even though this is all taking place not in Har Sinai, this is taking place in the Mishkan. But he had been commanded in Har Sinai. B'yom Sabbatot b'nei Israel, on the day that he commanded b'nei Israel, l'akriva korbanahem l'Hashem, to offer their offerings to God, b'mibar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. And this is all ambiguous, right? Who's the Sabbatot? Who's commanding? And b'mibar Sinai, what does that refer to? Is that referring to where b'nei Israel are offering their sacrifices, b'mibar Sinai, or where the commandment was, b'mibar Sinai? So Chazal say that Yom Sabato refers to Hashem. This is the day that Hashem commanded Moshe, Sabato, him, about B'nai Israel, and the commandment was B'midbar Sinai. Meaning that this is the law that God had commanded to Moses on Mount Sinai, on the day that God commanded them again in the wilderness, when he commanded them in the wilderness of Sinai, gave these commands again to bring those sacrifices. And that's the way the Ramban looks at it in source 21. Aderek Rabbeinu, this is the way, because I'll put it into our Kohanim. He called him mitzvot nemru l'moshe b'har Sinai. Moshe got all the Torah on Har Sinai. Koloteim, prateim, dikdikdikheim, the general principles, all the details, all the fine points. V'nishanu mehen ba'olmoed. And he had to learn them again. He was taught again in the olmoed. That's this vayikra. He's called back to learn. So that these mitzvot that we're getting in Parshat Vayikra, Moshe is getting them a second time. Why does he need to read them a second time? Because he had gotten them on Har Sinai, but he didn't learn them. And that's the way Rashi puts it where, at source 22, when Moshe gets the luchot from Hashem, source 22, Vayitena Moshe kechal hatol deberito. Har Sinai, and Hashem gave Moshe, when he finished speaking to him, on Har Sinai, Shnei Luchot Ha'edut, Luchot Eben, he got the two tablets, K'divim Be'etzpelim, written with the finger of God. It says Kachal Oto. And this is based on the Medrash, Kachal Oto, Rashi in source 23. Kachal Oto, Kachal Oto K'tiv Chaser. It's written Chaser, without a vav. It's not Kachal Oto, but read it as Kachal Oto, like a kala. Shenimsra lo Torah b'matana kechala l'chatan. That it was a gift, like a wedding gift. Shelo haya yachol lilmod kula b'zman muadze. Because Moshe couldn't learn everything. He's up there for 40 days. He's trying to get all this huge Torah, and he can't do it. So Hashem said, here, it's all yours. You now know everything. So what I imagine that is, it's like if you had a photographic memory and you went through the entire Talmud and you memorized what every page looks like. And you can call it to mind anytime you wanted. You wouldn't say that you actually know anything. If you want to, you could call it, you remember what it looked like, you can read it off from the image in your mind. But that's not the same thing as actually knowing anything. So Moshe, when he comes down from Har Sinai, is given all this Torah Sheval Peh. He knows it in the sense of, he can tell you what the words are, but he doesn't know any of that. What he has to do now is learn it. That's his Vayikra. That's the new role here. That from here on in, he is invited and he has a chavruta with Hashem. He goes to the Olam Moed, Hashem invites him in, and he sits and learns with Hashem. And Hashem tells him, here's what you need to do. This is what you already have. You know what the words are. You need to actually learn this so you can give this over to someone else. This is the point where Moshe becomes Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that the miracle worker from Yetziat Mitzrayim? He's not the Malach of Har Sinai. He is the one who has to teach the B'nai Israel, and he has to actually learn it first. So that's what teaching involves. He's got to sit with Hashem. He's sitting with Hashem. He's learning every single thing one step at a time, and then he's going to bring it over. He's not going to talk with Hashem anymore. He needs to take a step back from his Kedusha in order to be closer to the people. And all of his communication with Hashem from here on in is so that he can teach it to everyone else. And that's hinted in the pasuk as well. You look at the beginning of the parasha again. It says, "Vayikra Moshe, vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor." Hashem calls to Moshe and speaks to him in the Ol Moed, lemor, in order to say. And usually when you receive the word lemor, it means to say, meaning to say over to someone else. And that's the Ramban explains that, source 25. Edber Hashem Moshe lemor, amru farshim, that all the commentators say this, of course the Radak. Yimot lemor, b'chol Torah, lemor Yisrael. Hashem's talking to Moshe in order to say. You need to tell them this message here. Atam sheyomar Hashem Lemoshe, that meaning that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and moral Israel divrei eler. You need to tell Bnei Israel all these things that I am telling you. Problem is here, it always says this. Vayidaber Hashem elav me'omed lemor, daber al Bnei Israel. Go tell them from Martelahem. You need to tell them all these rules. So Rashi says this lemor, it means you need to tell them that I am telling you to tell them. Don't just tell them here are the rules. Tell them that my instructions, Hashem's instructions to Moshe are, you need to tell them that I am talking to you so that you can tell it to them. They need to know that you don't just know everything, you're not perfect, you are here learning it from me so they can go on to them. And that's Rashi on that Lemor, source 26. Lemor. Seva Amor Lahem, Devrei Kushim. You need to tell Bnei Israel, these Kushim means to conquer their pride. Tell them that they have a real responsibility here. B'shvilchem hu nidaber imi. Hashem is speaking to me because of you, for your sakes. Shekem asinu, because we see, shekol shloshim v'shmona shana, sheyusra'el b'medbar minudim, that for the 38 years, that Bnei Israel were minudim, basically in cherem. They're rejected by God after the Chayv Meraglim. And they're just wandering in the wilderness. Min Meraglim ve'elech, those 38 years. Lo nitachet adibor im Moshe. Hashem never spoke to Moshe. We don't see that at all. 38 years, Moshe has no communication. They're just wandering in the wilderness. Shenemar, it says, Bikasha tamu kon shem lochama lamut, v'deber Hashem elai. It was only after the generation of the wilderness died that Hashem said, that Hashem spoke to me again, Lemor. Eliyah Dibor, that's the point where where Hashem is speaking to Moshe again. And that's what Moshe needs to get. Moshe has learned this, that he is, his purpose now is to teach Bnei Israel. It's not gonna be given to him. He's gotta work at it to learn it, and that's what allows him to teach it to others. And that's what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to be both a Chacham, but a Talmud as well. You have to be constantly learning. And that's what allows one to be a teacher. And that's the role that at the end of his life, he passes on to all of Bnei Israel. That's saved by Yisrael. That came summoning. And the end of Sefer Devarim, it says, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Moshe, not he calls to them, not he summons them, but he gives them a call. This is your message. This commandment I'm giving you is not too wondrous to you. It's not too far away. Lo b'shamayim, he's not in the heavens. You can achieve this. And we know this pasukim here. And then ki karov elecha davar ma'od, because this is close to you. You can do this. You can learn this. The Torah is now given to you. You need to learn this. Not as a gift, but as something you have to work on doing every day and continue on doing it. And that the more we having to work on it is what is certainly a higher level than simply being given it. So it's not something that we just know genetically and know automatically. And that's how the Mishnah Avot puts it. Then hey Omer, the fum sara agur. The reward is according to the effort, according to the pain. But the more we work at it, the more we can learn. And that's what Vayikra El Moshe. This is a new level in Moshe's calling and of development, where he has to go in there and sit there and learn the Torah. And that allows him to give it over to Bnei Israel. So since everyone is mute, I have no idea if anyone's hearing anything or has any comments at all.
I'm still here. It was
okay,
very good.
Thank you.
Andy, sorry.
I'm still here.
Okay, and that is what I have to say. We have half an hour. Good Shabbos, everyone.
Have a great Shabbos. Thanks, Danny.
Bye.
Have a good day at work.
Francesca Chavez.
Yeah, good Chavez.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. Yeah, from Sarah Agra.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Bye. From there. Travis, Janet, Andy, Stuart, and Travis. I'm going to end here.
Travis, good Travis.
And we had a Shabbat Shalom to everyone from Phyllis.